ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 13, Brahma stealing the boys and calves. And today's verse will be number 14. Ityuk vadri dari kunja. Gavari shyatma vatsakan. Vachinvan bhagavan krishna. Sapani kavalo yuyao iti ukva. Saying this, this is Krishna speaking, by the way, to his cowherd friends after Agasura, killing Agasura. Krishna and his friends went to a very beautiful place to have lunch together, and they're sitting together and having lunch, and then the calves have wandered away during their merrymaking, and the boys noticed it and became frightened. And so Krishna now is speaking to them, and you'll see the rest of the story. Iti uktva, saying this, let me bring your calves personally. Adri dari kunja gavareshu, everywhere in the mountains, the mountain caves, the bushes and narrow places, atma vatsakan, the calves belonging to his own personal friends, vichinvan, searching out, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Sapani, Kavala, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, Yayao, started out. Translation, let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, immediately went out to search for the calves and his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. Would you like to repeat? Okay. The three or four of you said yes, you can repeat. Everyone else, cover your ears. Let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna immediately went out to search for the calves of his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, assert that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do personally. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate because he is doing everything through his energies and potencies. Parasa shaktir vibhadai vishuyate. Nonetheless, here we see that he took personal care to find the calves of his friends. This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. All the affairs of the entire world and the entire cosmic manifestation are working under his direction through his different energies. Still, when there is a need to take care of his friends, he does this personally. Krishna assured his friends, "Don't be afraid. I am going personally to search for your calves." This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Ityukvadridari kunja gravareshu yatma vatsakan vachinvan bhagavan Krishna sapani kavalo yuyao. Let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna immediately went out to search for the calves of his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. It's such a great honor to be with you here this morning at the beginning of the ISKCON Leadership Sangha. Muktanam apisiddhanam. There are many liberated souls in the world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes. But the best of them are those who are followers of Lord Sri Krishna and those who follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because nobody is better than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all of you are obviously addicted to the Srimad Bhagavatam, otherwise he wouldn't be here. And therefore, as described in the Bhagavatam itself, those who are attached to the Bhagavatam are really liberated. They've tasted something higher than is available anywhere within the three worlds. So my deepest appreciation, Hare Krishna. And today's verse is striking, isn't it? And it caught my attention somehow when I was asked to speak on the theme of leading ISKCON into the future. I began to think about the ways in which one might lead or does lead any kind of organization, group, team, family, and that is through principles and values. And these must, or at least those in an organization, must have piercing clarity to understand what are the kinds of values and principles that do move us as a movement, what actually moves us. And hopefully we're talking about moving us to a better place and improving. For by default, naturally in the material world, there's a way in which there's an enervating energy here that drags us to places we don't want to go. So there must be a deliberateness in an organization to cultivate, not only cultivate it, but also inculcate values and principles that move us into the future. How does that sound? Okay? So I considered this is done everywhere. For instance, in economic systems, there are leading indicators, leading economic indicators, for instance, actual GDP and consumer confidence surveys, housing starts. There's a long list. There's a top 10 of economic leading indicators by which economists will look at how they're moving and say, this is what the future of the economy is going to be. Because these things move first. And when they move, we know the economy is moving in a particular direction. So considering that, I thought of this verse. It somehow came into my mind, and I remembered being struck by it when reading it previously, and that is struck by Krishna's special friendship that he has for his devotees. Now, looking at this verse, we notice that Krishna was enjoying with his friends, and if you remember the context, they're having a jolly time. In fact, Krishna is like described as being like the whorl of a lotus, and all his friends are surrounding him. He's manifesting himself to each one of the boys. None of the boys are aware of the fact that he's manifesting as personally for each one of them and entering into a personal relationship with them during their lunch because they're not aware of his opulences in Vrindavan. And then when the scare comes, and that is they look up from their merrymaking and they see that the calves are gone, their life and soul and their very livelihood, then they become afraid. So Krishna notices this, and just see how in this verse, Krishna immediately jumps up. He still has his lunch in his hand. So, you know, when you have a friend and, says, oh, I forgot my wallet or something, whatever, and then you jump up, you still have a pakora in your hand. You don't even stop to wash your hands or anything. He's like, no, I'll do this. It's spontaneous. The way Krishna thinks about how to serve his friends and to reciprocate with them. And of course, much is made in this pastime that he's holding the food given to him ostensibly by Yashoda in his left hand. And of course, Brahma notices that before he steals the calves and boys away. Now, where is Krishna going? He goes, as mentioned in the verse, searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. So it's the way in which he's going to some trouble. It's not like they were around the corner and he just found them and that was it. But he's going through narrow places. He's going into mountains. He took some difficulty for his friends. So the principle that I remembered from this was Krishna's nature and how we are the international side for Krishna consciousness. So we naturally follow Krishna and we follow the acharyas, and the acharyas are defined by the ways in which they present to us through their character, their achar, Krishna's qualities, caring. That was the first one that came into my mind, caring. And here's the reason it came into my mind. Recently, in Tokyo, Japan, I left the day before he arrived, but Niranjana Swami stopped in for a day or something like that in Tokyo. And the devotees there asked him to give a class on devotee care. So he sat down to give the class, and he said, well, here's the first thing. There are many systems for devotee care, but they only work if you actually care. That really went deeply in my mind and heart. Like, what does it mean to care? And stepping back a moment to look at the whole material world and see, as Prabhupada quotes in the purport here, so it's fair game, he's maya jakshena prakriti. So the implication of this verse is very deep from the Bhagavad Gita. Maya jakshena, his aksha, his eyes are looking into the material world. They're animating it. Mayaya ramamanasya navyogastaya saha atmana ramaya remi tekvakalam shashikshaya. Also mentioned in the Brahma Sanghita in the beginning, how the Lord, as Mahavishnu, glances at the Pradhan. And that's when the Pradhan comes alive. It's potential, it's in a potential form. And now when he glances at it, there's so much implication from his glance. In fact, everything's there in his glance. The time energy, the living entities, karma, everything now begins to work in the material world. The living entities then are impregnated into the material nature, and it's all animated. And he, Ekobahusham, the one supreme Lord, expands himself into many, and the Vedas describe why, out of joy, to have more to share in his glory, have many unlimited, in fact, living entities to enjoy and appreciate him. So now I was thinking about Niranjana Swami's mention of systems. You may have many systems in place and ideas. You may have blueprints and organizational development ideas, which are absolutely essential for any organization, but they're like the pradhan. They're lifeless, they're ready, they're latent codes of organization ready to go. But just as when Mahavishnu glances at the material nature and the pradhan now becomes divided into the three modes of nature and everything becomes activated because of his ecstatic glance, his caring glance, actually, because that's what Krishna is. He's the most caring of all personalities. Then it becomes manifested in a similar way in the ways in which we develop here in ISKCON through systems and management schemes. The active ingredient, the ingredient that makes it manifest and actually come alive, is the care, is putting one's attention into the individuals that are there within the organization. I think often about what is a movement and how do we get to where we are now? How are we all sitting here? And there are many more millions around the world who have been touched by Krishna consciousness. And what does it mean that they were touched, that we were touched? It means that at some point we had a personal interaction with somebody that changed our hearts and that through which we actually decided, I'll take to Krishna consciousness. It doesn't happen, let me just say, when I was in business and we studied various types of advertising, one of the topics that was mentioned, here was a mantra for advertising, that if you don't have time to be personal, you don't have time to do business. So then I was thinking about the ways in which we can garner all of the assets that we have in ISKCON for a future that is ever brighter, and that we need that admonition that if you don't have time to be personal, you don't have time to spread the Sankirtan movement. Because it'll stay as pradhan. It's when there's a caring glance, just as the Lord glances when a devotee who has no motivation materially glances, then there's something intangible, or rather it's quite tangible, that happens and the animation starts at that point. So if we don't have time to be personal, then we don't have time to spread the Sankirtan movement. And here's a related idea. Anybody here ever get any junk mail? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So what is junk mail anyway? What makes it junk? Well, here's my thought. My thought is lack of personality or personalism. Because if you open your mailbox, correct me if I'm wrong, you look for the most personalized piece first, right? You can tell, like my mail comes through my front door and it drops onto the floor. I can tell from across the room which piece I'm going to look at first, or if I'm not going to look at it at all, it's just going in the recycle bin. And so let's just say that I saw something written by hand. I would immediately pick it up first and see who wrote to me, who cares to write something personal. Even if it was just, you know, two letters on the outside of the envelope, I would immediately grab it and say, what's in this? And so junk mail means no personal touch. And everything, the whole material world remains dull, it remains junk practically, without the personal touch of the Lord. And our systems, whatever we develop, remain junk and ineffectual, dull, in fact, disappointing without the personal touch of the devotees who are eager to give Krishna consciousness to others. So this kind of experience where we get a personal touch from devotees is palpable. The other day I gave a talk to the GBC body, giving an update about book distribution and so forth. And just afterwards, I got an email from one of my most revered friends in Krishna consciousness, and then it was just two lines. But it was so encouraging that I can say that just from that one personal note, I would be able to sustain myself probably for the rest of my life. You know how things get you down sometimes? Anyone? Just a few people? There's a lot of things that get us down. Well, that one thing will keep coming up in my mind, that I got a note from this person. And that's now I'll be able to go on. That's in our Gayatri mantras, we have the word prachodayat. It comes from the root word chud, which means to enliven, to lift up. And pro is a intensifier. Prachodayat means the Lord, through his glance and through his speaking, he lifts us up, he encourages us. It's a personal touch of the Lord. In fact, when you wake up the deities in the morning, as all of you engaged in the Panchratri system know, so sabhadra karano bhagavan vrivrida premasmitena nayanam burham brajinban utaya vishva vijaya chano visada madhya girat panayatat purusha parana. This is a prayer where the devotee is asking the Lord, please open your eyes and cast your glance upon me. Open your lotus eyes. And smilingly, premasmitena, with love. Look at me with love and a smile. And this is the enlivening force of Krishna consciousness, is this caring and giving our unmotivated attention to others. Just last week, during our yatra, where we were going around to various holy places here in the Mayapur area with a group of devotees, we went to Nisringapalli. And as is part of a feature of our yearly yatras, we call them Sankirtan yatras. We don't just go and look at the place, but as we're camping out in various places and moving about, we take with us books and prasadam and Jagannath stickers. And then we go to all the people in the area along the route and in the shops. And it just happened at Nisringapalli, we had an extra 45 minutes. So we went door to door in all the shops and to the apartments around the area. And I came across a group of men who were sitting in a circle. It was almost a cliche because they were engaged in a card game that was so intense that it, you know, could have been a movie scene in a circle, just playing cards, like totally absorbed. And I saw it and I said, I'm gonna break this up. Jai Shishrata Manav Ki Jai. And how is it possible to break up a determined card game? And first of all, I thought, what gives me the right? And then I thought, well, Lord Chaitanya, you know, he went around. In fact, it's described by Karbhajana Muni, Mayamrugam Dayite Epsitam Unvadavad, that the Lord, he notices that people, mrigat, they're like animals. And Unvadavad means he chases after them. So you got to go looking in various places, like Krishna did, in the nooks and crannies in the mountains, and taking some trouble for others. So I poked my head in to the circle, and I could smell alcohol, so I knew it was going to be doubly challenging. And I finally got the attention of the head guy, and I knew he was the head guy because everyone was looking at him, like, what should we do now? And I tried to hand him the book. He wouldn't take it, but I guess the second in charge took the book in his hand. And I was persistent, and I handed him a language card that said in Bengali, please give a donation. And he looked at me and the group that was around me. There were several devotees around, and he noticed that, you know, here's a guy probably from the West who shaved his head and is walking around handing out books about Krishna. And he couldn't ascertain a motive, like a material motive, that, you know, he's selling something. If I was selling something, It would have been easy. He could have just said, you know, I'm not interested, I don't want to buy anything. But there was no motivation except I'm following the order of Lord Chaitanya and, you know, you should be cooperating. And so I and the other devotees saw that although he was reluctant to break off his attention from the card game, somehow or other, his will just evaporated and he gave in, and everyone took from their gambling pot and they gave a little something. And yeah, okay. And it seemed to me to be, to resemble the material world. Little circle, everyone's playing their little card game, little alcohol smell coming out. And then, you know, Lord Chaitanya comes in and goes like, come on, you know, wake up, here you go. And that's a personal touch. He comes after us. And the devotees, they look after us individually, personally. They give their glance. That's what enlivens us. So that's one principle. There's more to say about it, but I think I've made the case. This active ingredient in a volunteer organization, what to speak of a spiritual volunteer organization, it has to be care. It has to be, as Niranjana Swami, that I actually care. If I care, you know, that I'm feeling this sense of compassion for others, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Atma upam yena sarvatra samam pashati yojana. Sukham vayadivadu kamsa yogi paramomataha, the best yogi, he says. Paramayogi, if you want to know, it's the one who feels compassion for others. That's a spiritual emotion, to feel compassion for others. And so if we have that, then how to do the things becomes a lot more clear. If we have this idea that this is our standard, this is a principle that we work by, we actually care about others in all phases of their lives, and we're able to, as Krishna does, be very personal and also appropriately overlook faults of others. Apichet sudaracharo bhajite mamananyapak sadareva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa. Krishna has this mood about him that somebody's done something. Okay, he's situated in devotional service. He's on the right track. He's going to make it. Of course, there's a complex conversation about that, but the mood has to be right. Even when there's censure and even when there's prohibition and so forth, the mood has to be correct and for us to continue moving. So that's the first principle or value, or I like to say ingredient, active ingredient. Like if you get a box of mints and you look at it and there's seven or eight ingredients that are called other. Have you ever seen this? Or you guys don't eat mints? You look on the tin of mints and there's seven or eight ingredients. Like, what is there? Inert. I don't know. You know, some sand or flour or whatever they put in to hold it together, right? And then there's an active ingredient, which would be like mint or menthol or something like that. So now, if it doesn't have the mint, what's the use? You get a bunch of fillers, and there's no, you got no pizzazz in your life. So that active ingredient, that's the case I'm making. And the second, in considering principles that actually move us, a leading indicator, I can tell in my own life, in the life of those who I'm observing, and in the movement as a whole, are we moving forward? Is that we're purifying the sound vibration. That means the more that we're leaning into the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the more that we're leaning into the chanting of Hare Krishna and endeavoring as a society and individual to avoid offenses, this is the actual ingredient, or the second ingredient, or parallel ingredient, or maybe the primary ingredient that moves us forward into the future. And that's what our movement is. What is my proof? When Prabhupada came to the West, he wrote down his intentions in a poem on the Jaladutta. And his intention was to introduce the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam to the world. And in doing so, quoting Shastra, of course he started with Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyan Taksto Hibadrani Vidhunoti Suritsutam. He said that this vibration would create natural spiritual credit in the hearts of those who would receive it. What's more, Krishna is there within the heart and he will help remove the obstacles. Prabhupada was quite clear and confident about this point. And he went onward, of course, to quote Nashta Praishu Bhadrishu and then Tadarajas Tamo Bhava and the series, which shows that it's a step-by-step process that's activated only by hearing and chanting. In fact, the essence of all advice given by Rupa Goswami in his primer on devotional service, Tanama Rupa Upadeshamrita, Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasinioja, Tishtam Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami, Kalam Nayeda Kilam Ityupadesha Saram. Here it is, the essence of all advice, he says, Upadesha Saram. He said you should organize your life around the principle of always hearing and chanting and other devotional processes, but the first two are hearing and chanting constantly. And constantly for those who are busy means at least every day. And with that, he gives the process that one will come to Tishtan Raje, you'll be situated in Vrindavan. And you'll go on to aspire to be one of the residents of the spiritual world by following the footsteps of the residents of there who you will have communion with through this process of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all important. And that is a principle that can't be skipped over. I once took Anuttama Prabhu's class on leadership and management in Dallas, Texas, one of the best things I've ever done in my life. And I'll be forever grateful to him for organizing that. It was fantastic. It changed my life. And I at the end of the presentation, the end of the 4 or 5 days that we were there taking the course, we were asked to do a project where at the last minute, each of our groups, and we had about 6 teams made up of maybe 10 or 12 people each, had to make a presentation together to present to the rest of the group. So I was voted to be in charge of the group, and I was trying to find a time, because we only had till the next day, and it was already in the evening, when we could meet and discuss our strategy. So I suggested to the group that we meet the next morning, and it just happened to be the time I suggested was around the time of Bhagavatam class. So Jayadvaita Swami was in the group, and now I learned my greatest lesson from the leadership and management course. When I suggested the time, he said, "Isn't that the time of Bhagavatam class?" And I said, "Yeah," and he said, "Oh yeah, right. The old skip Bhagavatam class for the sake of management routine." And he said it to me with such conviction and also disdain. I took it as one of the most merciful lessons that don't skip your hearing and chanting. It's not optional. It is the movement. In fact, the sound vibration that comes from Prabhupada's books is the foundation of our movement. And minus that, we don't really have a movement. We have a lot of problems. So, so now, well, I could say a bit more about Bhagavatam and about the power of hearing and chanting, although I've given, you know, a couple of verses indicating, and we can say more. But I think what I'll do now is take a few reflections or a question that augments the particular points that I made. So we've got Bhadri Narayan Maharaj and then Archita Prabhu all the way in back. And with your questions or reflections, please keep, you know, be mindful to keep us on course and uplifted. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to ask a depressive question, and you can uplift us. Okay, you have to care for the jivas in order to go out and distribute books and spread the Sankirtan movement. Well, what if I don't really care that much, or I can't muster the care, the intensity of care. Okay, you need care. What if I don't have it?
A leader of in.
I'm speaking collectively.
I understand. Thank you, Marge. It's an important question. Let me tell you about geese to answer your question. I love geese. We can learn a lot from a goose. And probably if we don't learn certain lessons, maybe in the next life we'll become a goose. So we can learn what the geese know. When geese fly in the sky, and they do at this, at least I missed a lot of it, because, but during the autumn season, when they're starting to move across during the winter, they fly in a V formation. And the strongest, most capable one, or the one who's the most enthusiastic, moves to the front. And the person in front takes the wind and cuts it. And then it's the drag of the wind gets cut even more because of the V formation. The geese know this. Every once in a while, the goose in the front, who gets tired, moves back, and another one moves up and takes the lead. And they go for many, many miles, and actually aerodynamic studies show that they're able to go considerably longer because the drag from the cold air coming on them is so much less by the formation. Now here's something else. If one of the geese gets tired or sick and falls out of the formation and goes to land on the earth, two other geese follow it. And then they sit with it until it gets better. And then three of them get up and they start their own formation, three together. And then they somehow or other join in with the other geese. I don't know if they have some GPS, obviously built in, but they know.
Goose
petition. My point is that if somebody is obviously depressed or lagging, then part of care means that we should work together. That's why we're in a society, and see how we can do good for the others and encourage them. So there's an old saying, if you're enlivened, then the meeting needs you. And if you're not enlivened, you need the meeting. And like the geese, if you see that somebody's not enlivened, it behooves us to go take care of our own and look after those who aren't able to fly anymore, and see if we can help lift them up by association. And I've noticed that there's a way in which it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take as much as one might think to actually enliven somebody. I've heard stories of devotees who were depressed. They started to think, maybe I won't even come to the temple anymore. And then somebody came to their house with a plate of Mahaprasadam and said, here, this is for you. And it wasn't for any reason that, you know, get back here or anything like that. It's just saying, I care about you. And that changed the person's life forever. I know the person, it's my wife. And, you know, she recounts this story that, you know, this person just came a few blocks down and gave me a plate of Mahaprasadam because she hadn't seen me in several days. And that made all the difference till this day. So, you know, looking out and seeing, surveying how our devotees doing and what can I do for them, it's amazing how a glance can make a difference or not. I was in the Toronto airport and we were late, and I wasn't sure if our baggage was going to come in or not because the baggage carousel was going around empty for a long time. So I went over to that customer service a place where you're supposed to stand in line and they can scan and see did the bag actually arrive at the airport. So here I am standing about 10 feet away from the booth, and there was nobody else, no other customers there, but there were two customer service agents behind the desk, but they wouldn't look at me. So I'm standing there and I started to observe the way I was reacting to not being looked at. And it's a painful experience, actually. There's another living entity there. I'm standing here. They know I'm there, but they won't look up. That's the pain of the material world. There is no other pain except ignorance, or also pronounced ignorance. And that's my plight. I'm ignoring Krishna. He's not ignoring me. He's there in my heart, but I forget about him. And devotees also, they need our glance. And we have to take the time individually to personalize each one of, or as much as possible, our interactions, because everything takes place on a one-to-one basis. It can't be mass-produced. If you send out a mass mailer, people say, well, I'll get a 3% return. Yeah, good luck. What kind of return are you going to get? You'll get more advertising back from a robot that says, you know, why don't you join us instead of us, we join you. But if you go to somebody's house and you take time with them, there's a heart-to-heart transmission. In fact, this is what Vira Raghavacharya describes in the 10th canto in the appearance of Krishna. Is described how from the mind and heart of Vasudeva into the mind and the heart of Devaki, there was a transmission, a transference. Krishna went there. And he says, this is Diksha. This is the way in which Krishna appears in the world. And he said, it's a heart-to-heart relationship between a guru and a disciple. And so our relationships in a spiritual organization are heart-to-heart. And if we don't have time to be personal, we don't have time to spread the Sankirtan movement. It has a good ring to it, doesn't it? Anywhere in the ballpark? Okay, thanks, Marsh. Uh-oh, now I got Archita. So over one hurdle, here we go. Archita, let me have it. Uh-oh, no microphone. He's all the way in the back. You either got to use teamwork or run as fast as you can. There he is.
Don't go away.
Thanks for a wonderful class, Vaisheshika Prabhu. This point of caring for those who have committed mistakes is very, very important. We're completely divided as a society on that. Somebody joins the movement and makes some mistakes, sometimes some horrible mistakes, but based on Prabhupada's precedence, we have to forgive. But we're completely divided. Those of us who try to forgive and accept that person get lambasted by those who don't want to take them back. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, thanks for the question. It's timely and very important. And I think, as I mentioned, it's a complex issue. It's the human interactions are complex. And it's not that with one fell swoop or one Vedabase search we can solve anything. And that's kind of what care means. It means we have to be in for the long term, learn how to deal with complex issues. I'm learning that as I got involved in management after artfully avoiding it for many decades. And I watched one of my colleagues, Kaladri Prabhu, who I have great respect for, early on when I was dealing with various issues that to me seemed impossible and intractable. And he showed up every day with his lunchbox and said, let's just put our attention on this and deal with it and talk to the people involved and go through the steps. And lo and behold, I watched as the communication, the personal communication, taking the time to speak and not resist because there's going to be some conflict or because we have some ill feeling toward the other person, I saw that there was a miracle that would happen, that people would actually be able to come together. So in a similar way, when there are egregious offenses, sudarachara, there's a way in which there may be various ways that we have to deal with it on the vyavaharika, or the practical level. But the principle always has to be in place that we take care to preserve the paramartika, or the ultimate goal, which is to respect the devotee. Even if there are some, you know, punitive measures that come about on a societal level, because that has to do with vyavaharika, the decorum, at least, has to be maintained that we're dealing with Vaishnavas, and therefore we have to have respect, even as we're administering some kind of a necessary, or not, perhaps, it depends on the situation, kind of prohibition or something like that. You hear me talking, right?
Yes,
Yes. Okay, thanks. Prabhu, is that Preetu Prabhu? Yes, it is.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I would like to contribute a little story. When Srila Prabhupada was in Germany, somehow or other I was involved in the management, and I had a magnetic board where all the names were on this board, and you could move them from one place to another. And Prabhupada saw that. He stood behind me. I didn't know. All of a sudden he said, "What is that?" Oh, Srila Prabhupada. I paid my business. He said, "So what is it?" I said, "Srila Prabhupada, here are the Sankirtan devotees, here is the cooks, here is the deity department, here is the cleanup department. With one look I can see everybody. I can move somebody from here to there, from there to there, from there to there." He said, "German management."
German management.
But then he said, "Can I try that? How does that work?" He said, "Actually, how does that work?" I said, "Prabhupada, it's magnetic. Can I try?" I said, "Sure." So he tried. Okay, let's take this person from here to there, this person from there to there. And he was enjoying this facility. Then he said, "But if there's no love and trust, this will completely fail."
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. A microphone to the front, please, as soon as possible. Use teamwork if you can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes.
Wonderful class. Thank you, Ashish Prabhu. Recently, last couple of years, we started some kind of mentoring in our Alachua community. And first question I ask also myself, because I mentor my own mind every day: what interest brought me to Krishna consciousness? Can I reflect? And every person, every devotee that I ask that question, and we have several questions. That what is the purpose you have come? What you came to get? What's supposed to happen? And at the end we see that if we look at like today's purport, the greatness of Krishna, his loveliness, and what is the purpose behind this creation or behind me that he has for me. If we focus really very concentrative way with the other sincere senior devotees, then this pettiness, that little thing disturbs, evaporates. I personally saw. And then they become more serious to Srila Prabhupada's books, and they find themselves more satisfied. Because our inner connection is supposed to give us satisfaction. Until we come to that point, but it has to come, willingness has to come from each of us. Then possible everything else can be corrected.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very helpful. We just have a couple minutes left. If there's one last point you'd like to make, otherwise I have one last point to make.
Go.
Okay, just to reiterate, I think measuring things and developing organization is, in fact, I know it is, it's vital. In order to grow in any project, you have to look into that very carefully and constantly. And my point here today is that we can, as living entities, it's our choice, put our glance wherever we wish. And we can, please, if we keep in mind how important it is, how consequential our glance is, and where we put our energy, and that we're a personal movement, that's the essence of our philosophy, that this is what will animate all those hard, those well-thought-out systems that we develop. And secondly, that our main purpose really is to purify the sound vibration so that we're hearing constantly among ourselves and going deeply within the Srila Prabhupada's books. And lastly, I brought a few gifts to give away just after the class, out of my deep appreciation for every one of you sitting through this class. And the bell is rung now, so I'm going to end the class. And I have a few parting gifts, and I'll be handing them out right from this area right here after the class. Do you like free gifts? Okay. Then you're in luck. Thank you very, very much. Gaur Premanande Haribo Vanchakalpati Risha Vipassinabe Vacha Patitanam Pavanibyo Vaishnavibyo Namo Namah Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanande Haribo.
Free gift.
Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman.